mobile low bandwidth simulcast of this show available on Alpha Geek Radio. Using your device web browser, go to mobile.alphageekradio.com to tune in now.
You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hello, gentle listener. While Geek.io holds its talent to the highest standards, what follows will likely involve the sort of language usually reserved for sailors on leave. If you're of a delicate disposition, then perhaps you would consider a different podcast.
Fuckers.
Welcome, brave adventurer, to the Mana Pool. Join our Dungeon Master CJ as he guides his group through the enchanted pages of the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. Our intrepid noobs, Andy, Dale, Jared, and Raoul, are unproven in combat and ignorant of the dangers ahead. They think they're ready for an adventure, but can they handle the Princes of the Apocalypse? You are hearing a live playthrough from Princes of the Apocalypse, a campaign from the Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition from Wizards of the Coast. All mathematical errors default blame to CJ Bo and do not reflect the Wizards of the Coast, the rest of the Geek.io Media Network, its managers, producers, hosts, their families, or affiliates.
This is all very factual and true. Hi, everybody. This is the Mana Pool, Geek.io's live play Dungeons & Dragons podcast. This is Geek.io episode number 127, Mana Pool episode number 9. I am your host and Dungeon Master, CJ. I feel wind on my face and it feels weird, Boat.
Wind on your face.
What?
And I'm Jared Azevedo playing Draiku, Bloodfang.
Blang, blang, bang.
Blang, blang.
I'm Raoul, I'm playing Sabata.
And I'm Andy playing this doofus. Hey, I didn't write that. So I'm Andy playing Dahlgren Brightpath.
Blightpath? Changing your last name?
Now it is.
With your anger, with your angry Batman face, you're now Blightpath.
The path of blight.
Oh, they're in the tower. It's cool.
You're not evil, so it's
it's good.
And Davdak will be rolled by Andy, role played by he's going to be miming. Oh, right, and I also play Mintra, the bard, and I should probably have her character sheet open.
A good idea.
Who needs
How's your Australian accent, Andy?
I'm not even going to attempt.
That's not a bow. This is a bow.
No Australian accent happening.
Aww.
I'm not going to put any shrimps on any Barbies. I'm just saying.
And it is a knife. It is a knife.
It might be. It could be a knife.
All right. So, hold on. I got this. Or do I? I don't have this.
The Mana Pool, everyone.
Yay! what am I doing?
If you don't know, we have no chance.
Hey, found it. Last time on the Mana Pool, a bunch of talking happened, and the heroes finally found out a way that they can start investigating the elemental evil and what happened to the king. Their story lies in Feathergale Tower. Now we go there.
How far were we actually away?
Because
I remember we started, and I don't remember how far we actually got before.
You got to story time part of the trip.
Okay.
The nebulous amount of time between now and then. You're about 5 days hard ride from there.
Okay.
It's been a hard day's ride.
Barda, who's taking you guys there, on your way there. Well, here, before I do that, just as a reminder, the Mana Pool is brought to you solely by Patreon, patreon.com/geek.io. If you want this to be a weekly show, go ahead and help us out with that, and we might be able to help you out with getting this show a permanent host. Permanent time, permanent place on the Geek.io network. So
permanent.
Yes, a permanent show. Mainly because Andy's like, I'm not going to show up every week unless you pay me. That's not at all true.
I don't think
That's
that ever, I, those words never left my mouth.
I don't remember that ever happening.
That is not at all true.
I think CJ dreamed that.
Because Andy's Mr. Big Time and Mr. Senior Podcaster.
No, Andy's Mr. I'm on call for work. It has really nothing to do with podcasting in any way.
I know. All right. So I'm going to hide behind my screen.
Drama.
Exactly.
Engaging the audience. Come on. Exactly. Andy, play along.
All right. So I'm going to hide behind my screen and say, let us part the veil of reality.
Also pale it.
No, pale the curtain of substituted reality.
Of so, salmon.
Yes, it's of salmon. Mm, lox. Mm. I want a bagel.
Okay, you can't derail yourself. Let's move on.
You apparently don't know me very well, sir. All right, so
we've derailed the derailment, so let's move on.
You're on your way to Feathergale Spire, and during this time, Barda, the dwarf mistress of the town, pretty much, second only to Halston the sheriff, during this time, tells you some things that you are to be expecting when you get to Feathergale Tower. Feathergale Spire is run by the Feathergale Knights. They were, or are, a very honorable people. If you present yourselves to them and are honest with them and good to them, they will give you the same. At least that's what it was the last time she was here, but that was before the elemental evil influence.
Okay.
There is a strong presence of the Howling Hatred cult in this tower. If they see you, they're going to know you.
Okay.
The Feathergale Knights should not be aggressive to you so long as you are not aggressive to them. You follow their customs.
Okay. I have a question. So this is a single tower.
A single very large tower.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Like, it stretches for many, many floors. But so there's the Feathergale Knights that guard it?
I'm confused
because you said there's a cult, and it's like the cult's also in the tower. I'm confused.
They are. The Feathergale Knights, that is their headquarters. They are one of the seven holy defenders of the realm.
Okay. So I probably would be aware of them.
Yeah, exactly. They're well known throughout the realm, defenders of the king and everything like that. That's the reason why you were sent there to start. So because it is a good place to start because they were or are because nobody has heard from them in about a year.
Okay, and we know that at least part of the tower has been taken over by the cult.
Yes.
Okay, that makes sense. Okay.
She does not know the infestation. Nobody in town knew the level of infestation. They don't know if the Feathergale Knights are now aggressive or if they are going to attack anybody in particular. However, she warns you to go by the old ways because that is how she thinks that they are still going to deal with things, even with the influence. There's no way the influence could run that deep to ruin their chivalry.
So I will probably fail at this role because that's what I do. But I'm going to make a religion check to know if there's any like means of a offering or that sort of thing because it's sort of in the same business that I am. So I'm just going to make a religion check to see if I might know that before we get there.
Okay.
Let's see.
Like, we need to bring, like, 3 squirrels and a turkey, right?
Oh, a 5. So I'm guessing no, I have no idea.
There is, you know, you know that they have not necessarily been a holy order. By the term holy defenders of the realm, it is pretty much meant just that some people consider the king a god.
Oh, okay.
And
so the divine providence sort of thing, more than a, like, they worship Bahamut or something as such.
Correct.
Okay.
They're all very air-based, so Avandra and people like that.
Okay.
But as a unit, as a whole, Thur, T-H-U-R, their leader, has not announced that they are a righteous order.
Okay. Fair enough.
They just sometimes have martyr-like qualities towards their king or their charge.
Okay.
So, you guys are on the road for a little bit less than a week. What do you do during that time? Minthra, during this time, by the way, is just kind of very quiet. She's exceptionally quiet during this entire time.
Okay, I am probably just going through my normal rituals of, you know, praying with the sunrise and the sunset, and, you know, making sure my weapons are in correct order, and I'm basically just kind of trying to focus on the task ahead.
Okay.
Because this needs to stop. I'm running around in the forest. Oh, sorry, that was me. And that is the only time I'll be doing that during the show.
Dale, I can imagine, is actually just pretty much keeping up with the caravan on foot for the most part.
And I imagine he's probably hunting and stuff, yeah, too. So we don't have to actually use our provisions.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably out doing what he does, which is hunt, gather, right, and be extremely fast when he's actually running. So you don't have to stop the
caravan. Can I talk to Mithra?
Yeah.
Like, now that we're clear of the town, can there anything else that you didn't want to say with so many ears?
Oh, hi, Salamander.
About this tower?
No, the Feathergale Knights don't particularly like Azamar, because we are, they view us as an affront to nature and even the air, because we're descended from, we have celestial blood, but they've chosen to think that that means just angels. So the fact that most Azamar can't fly is an affront to them. I mean, basically, they treasure flight and those who worship the wind above everything else, and I am neither of those things. My entire skill set, my entire religion, is based on parting what they view.
Hmm.
The Raven Queen is all about equalization, and they as a whole want to rise above everybody else. And also, the fact that we're going into a place that has another infestation of cultists isn't doing a lot of good for my head.
If I'm around, I would agree. It's not good for anyone, to be honest.
Since that necromancer cut me, and what happened to Pella happened to me. We're the same person. So when he cut my youth, he cut me with a cultist dagger and was using my power to summon a god. And it's done something to me that I can't quite shake, knowing that we're going into a stronghold. So it's nothing nothing that I didn't want anybody in town to hear. It's just the Howling Hatred, the Feathergale Knights, all of it just has me off my game. I'm sorry to
all of us
you,
here. Not problem. Between us all here, we fear that we can triumph over this.
Oh, I have no doubt in our strength. It's just me. It really is. And so if I don't talk much while I'm in there, I apologize. I just don't want to put my foot in my mouth.
That's okay.
End up getting us killed.
Well, if we get killed in this tower, I'm pretty sure it's not because of something that you will have said. I think there's probably, given we haven't heard from this Order of Knights in quite some time, and there are rumors of for lack of a better term, infestation, I believe, was used earlier. I think we're going to have our work cut out for us to find out why we perhaps have not heard from the Feathergale Knights.
Yeah, just kind of prepare for the worst.
And hope that it's not it.
Yeah, because I could probably think of some pretty bad things right now.
Don't mention them, please. Because God will get some ideas.
He listens. Beware.
All right. So, a few days pass. Anything else we wanted to say or do while traveling?
Not really. I'm really focused on getting there and seeing why we haven't heard from people who, in theory, should be allies.
So as you go through, as you're going down the road, you enter a cavern, or not a cavern, a canyon, a natural formation. It's been there for years. This is a normal route. But as you get there, you start to notice the horizon has a point on it. It goes far above the canyon. As you go further and further through the canyon, Barta stops and tells you, "That's Feathergale Spire, and we're still a day and a half away from it, and it's that large already."
Whoa.
Basically as tall as a mountain.
Yeah, Feathergale Spire rises from the pillars, rises from a pillar of rock high into the air. It is the tallest point for absolute miles. As you get closer, it's built from white limestone, and you could tell that there's embroiderments of marble and other gemstones that are reflecting the light as you get there. And as the day goes by and you finally get closer to the edge of the canyon, you notice that there is a gatehouse. And there's a very large drawbridge, and it's the only point of entry.
Gatehouse manned?
Yes, there are two Feathergale knights. There are one woman, one man. Barta goes up to as far as she possibly can, to where what you see right now is what you can see of the tower. It is a massive thing just going straight up. And it's all just bright and very shiny. And the two knights that are there, they're very well armored. They obviously take a lot of care into their view, into their armor.
Is this like full plate sort of thing? Okay, okay.
These guys are leather because of air.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Oh, yeah, duh. You wouldn't be able to fly with plate as easily, yes.
Above the tower, there are many hundreds of birds circling the top of the tower at varying altitudes. There are windows throughout the entire tower for both, obviously, large ones and small ones for, like, arrow slits and things like that. There is a circle of open stalls towards the tower's foundation, where it starts to go meet to the drawbridge. Above each of the stalls, there's a sculpture of a hippogriff in flight, and that is repeated a lot of places. That flying hippogriff is pretty much the main focus of this. And as you get there, the canyon kind of fades away, like they used it to build this tower. Minthra goes over, starts to go over the drawbridge and stops.
Is the gatehouse on this side or the other side of
the other side? Sorry.
Okay.
She stops about a quarter of the way across the drawbridge and goes, "I can't go in there. This is where I'm going to have to leave you. They don't like dwarves at all. Ever. So I'm going to stay in the canyon."
Are you going to be safe?
Yeah. Oh, please, dear. Nothing could stop me. Check out my beard.
I'm just worried to leave one by yourself, regardless of however sturdy that person might be.
She gives you a sheepish grin. "Oh, that's sweet of you, dear." She goes, I will be away from the Feathergale Knights area so they are not offended by someone so lowly as myself approaching upon their tower. However," and she hands you a scroll, Sataba. "This is a scroll of sending. You open it up, and it is tied to me." She holds up another one. "It's tied directly to me. You can get a hold of me, and I can do whatever I need to do. Unfortunately, I only have one, because Wizzet was going to make more for me. But, yeah.
The incident.
Yes. So
too soon.
This is as far as I go, my friends. I will be less than an hour's journey away.
So what exactly is this scroll of ascending?
Scroll of sending. It just sends a message. Basically sends a Twitter-length message to the recipient.
Yeah, it sends a short message, and I believe they can reply, and that's it. And then the scroll is gone. But it's really handy if, you know, oh, crap, we need some help. You unroll the scroll, you read it, and then you can actually get a message to someone who is not in the vicinity.
Yes.
Okay,
so it's a magical Twitter scroll.
Yeah, basically.
Yes.
Got it.
So
hope they don't have a locked account, because then you won't be able to see their response, and yeah, it'll be...
very awkward, very
don't,
awkward.
Don't play the RT either, because that just wastes characters.
There's enough room on this drawbridge. It's a massive drawbridge for her to turn the caravan around and leave.
Okay. Wow. That's a big drawbridge.
Yes, there's no up. You guys are able to get across this with zero issue. And now that the dwarf is out of sight, the two guards are visibly less on edge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I
don't like dwarves.
Basically, as she's turning around to sort of take their attention off of her, I'm going to, like, basically raise my hands in front of me like this, and I'm going to, like, slowly walk towards the gatehouse.
Okay. Like I said, you get there. There are two Feathergale knights there.
Do we know how to greet them properly as Feathergales and with honor and et cetera?
Do we have knowledge of that? I tried to roll that earlier and kind of failed. Yeah. So I'm just going to go with generic. And, okay.
Can I roll for that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's got religion as well. And it's not specifically religion, but it's the closest thing, unless history or something would apply.
I don't have history, so.
I don't either.
I don't have history. Let's see.
But what would you consider for a check? I mean, I already failed mine. I already rolled and.
I mean, they're not a religion. Jez also realizes that they're not a religious cult. So rolling for religion is probably not going to be getting too much from them. History check is basically you know what Mithra has told you. You as a Genasi are not super well versed in their ways, especially.
Okay,
so pretty much the whole walk slowly and hands where I can see them.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, hands not near my weapons. Just... approaching respectfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically. Let's all do that.
Let's see here.
And they're, what is their race?
They're all humans.
Oh, okay. That makes it somewhat easier.
Blah, 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 blah. Oh, radical concept.
What? Yeah.
She didn't get much better anyway. So... As you approach, one of the women, the woman guard, comes up and meets you about a little bit over halfway. She has a great spear, has a helmet on, full leather armor. Really, and it's kind of hard to tell her from the other guy there. Only when she opens her mouth is really the main time that you realize, oh, this is actually a woman.
Okay.
Hail, travelers. My name is Savra. What brings you to our little slice of heavens?
Hail. I am Draku.
Greetings, good knight. We are investigating activity in the area and wish to pass into the tower.
What kind of activity?
There has been foul magic that has been in the form of the earth elemental that we have seen in a town that you said the town is about a week away.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could say Red Larch. They know what Red Larch is.
Oh, I don't know. They seem kind of isolationist, so I don't necessarily know that they would know that. There is a town not a week from here called Red Larch that was recently attacked.
Oh, Red Larch was attacked?
Red Larch was attacked, and it is in the process of being recovered now. We helped them some, but was it, sorry, out of character, was it a vision?
Yes.
Yes.
Of who? Who had the vision?
I had the vision.
You had the vision. Okay. So it was a vision of my fellow priest of Bahamut that led us to this location to continue to investigate.
The Wingless Dragon.
Yes.
Huh. Yeah, I'm not sure. We haven't gotten much news around here lately. We've been going through a rigorous restructuring, but the earth cults are rising, or
is it? I have been able to tell. The adversaries that we have overcome have definitely come from some sort of corrupted earth.
Though, didn't we, quick thing, we also saw other cults there, didn't we? When we were attacked?
So in the last, I would say in the last battle that happened in town, CJ, was it, we basically saw each one of the people light up.
Yes.
But we've only ever seen emissaries of Earth attack, correct?
No, you were attacked by all four cults.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't just Earth. Okay.
Yeah. The only person of power you've met has been of Earth.
Okay. So the dwarf guy that we're going to strangle at some point is Earth.
But, yes.
Okay. So we have seen the most powerful adversaries have been of the Earth cult, but we have seen all four of them. And
all four. Four of what?
Earth, air, wind, and fire.
You say air, and she really looks on edge.
Corrupted air, not the air that you represent in any way.
Who in the world could corrupt air?
That is what we're trying to find out.
At that point, a giant vulture drops down from the sky right behind her.
I jerk, but do not make, like, a grab for my weapons, because how giant are we talking here?
A large-scale vulture.
Okay. So, like, 8-foot wingspan sort of thing?
More than that. When I say a large, it is a giant vulture. It is one that she can ride on.
I'm just like, whoa. Okay. So, yeah, don't make moves for my weapons.
Think the eagles from Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay. So, horse-sized.
Approximately.
For lack of a better term.
Yes.
Okay.
Prop plane-sized.
and the vulture kind of looks at her inquisitively, and she pulls its head down and whispers at it and sends it on its way. It flies back pretty much straight up to the top of the tower. If someone is corrupting air, we need to discuss this.
I am not opposed to that. We can use all the allies we can get, as cultists and their creations are showing up more than anyone would like.
I mean, that's absolutely, that's a horrible thing. And we have new wizards that have been around for the last year or so with us that they may be able to lend their assistance to you.
Wizards,
that would any help would be helpful.
Oh, absolutely. They're all very strong wizards, and right now for the most part they're doing odd jobs, but I'm sure we'll be able to run into one of them. She holds her hand up and kind of does a wave as I'm motioning with my camera not on.
If we're not using the map, I would just say, can we see your face? Because we're talking to a wall. It's like
What's your point?
I mean, if you're reading, feel free to have the screen up. But yeah, there you go.
What's your point? She kind of just puts her hand up and just waves. And at that point, the guy behind her does the same motion, and the doors of the spire open. She says, come with me. I will lead you. I'll show you around a bit until we can find somebody who can help, because I I'm just a guard.
Have you had any other issues?
Nobody's like, been around here in over a year, my friend. Nobody comes out here unless they need us, unless they want to hire us for something. The king hasn't even sent any missives to us. I have a mission that I'm supposed to be going out hunting a manticore here in the next couple of days, but that's just because they're abominations.
And be aware, we had an emissary from the king, and he was attacked in broad daylight by these cults.
Huh. That's interesting. She kind of looks over all of you. So, may I get your names?
I'm Sabasa. They fired a genasi from the fire.
Well, I clearly see you're a genasi.
I am Draku Bloodfang, Cleric of Bahamut.
Wingless Dragon.
And I am Dahlgren Brightpath, Paladin of Bahamut.
I'm Devdrek. I'm of you guys. See, oh, I'm awesome.
You let him go.
What, Devdrek?
That was almost Kiwi, dude. That was almost Kiwi.
He was very Kiwi.
Devdrek introduces himself, and she like, I like that guy. And
oh, yeah. Oh, that sucks. He'd be, like, the one that could, like, talk to them more openly.
Yeah, exactly.
He's an air creature.
She goes, that's intriguing. He radiates magical air, and that's fantastic. She looks behind you, and Mintra is completely shrouded. Like, she is, she has a hood up, she has everything up, and she is going to roll a deception check.
Oh! I'm going to try to... Whoa! Okay, not very a natural nice. 20, but a 20 nonetheless.
Yes. She and Mintra then flings back her shield. Her hair is completely different. Her hair is blonde. Her eyes are still the same blue as they were. The markings of the Raven Queen are missing. And she goes, "Hi, I'm Mintra. I'm just a bard. I'm here telling their tale back to the people of Baldur's Gate and Neverwinter. That's all I'm here for. I really like their story."
I say nothing. Because saying something would get us in trouble. So I'm not going to say anything.
And she goes, "I will definitely, like, if we could stay here the night after talking to some people, I would love to tell you their story. They've saved an innocent little girl from a necromancer. They've defeated these horrible armies of evil. And barely breaking a sweat."
Well, let's not blow this out of proportion.
Oh, not at all. This is absolutely... I'm being humble for you guys.
There was some sweating, right? I mean, things got a little warm at one point.
God damn it. Yeah. Nice. Oh, yeah. This all just goes... Absolutely. We love bards here. They sing the songs of the wind. Absolutely. Come on. Come with me. And Mintra just kind of puts her hand on Dahlgren's shoulder and nods.
Yep. I realize it's necessary at times.
Sing the songs of the wind.
Oh, more the outwardly lying to a stranger to make them not notice.
Hey, that's a bard.
That's true. That's kind of her thing.
Yeah, that is exactly what she's meant to do, is completely bullshit everything. All right, so now I'm going to hide behind my screening because I have to read. As you go in,
okay.
The entrance is a 30-foot long hall of pure white polished stone. At the opposite end of the hall, there are two 12-foot tall doors, like those almost exactly like the entry gate, just more ornate. An eagle and a hippogriff are carved from massive timber. An eagle is carved from a massive timber hangs from the far side of the ceiling, suspended on strong chains. Slender wings of steel sweep close to its sides. Its head is also fashioned of steel. Savra kind of leads you through, and you notice in the entryway that there are two people. wearing green cloaks with a very distinctive mark that you know is the Howling Hatred mark on their cloaks. They're sweeping the floors and doing the mopping. Savra ignores them and continues walking. They pay no attention to you.
Okay, great. Okay. So the wizards that showed up a year ago are the cultists that we're trying to... Yeah. This is going to be a good scene.
She
I say nothing surprised. Yet. The hackles on my neck have certainly risen.
You guys, your party has arrived at an amazing time. We just escalated a new set of initiates, and we're going to feast them tonight. And this is our 10th successful group of no failed initiates in a row. And as she continues to go along, she explains to you as you're walking. And I'm going to pull up the map here, and I'm going to drop mine to my camera. As you're walking on your map, you'll see, as soon as I reveal it, hold on. You'll see certain rooms that I'm going to address strictly by number.
Okay.
Because, well, that's what they're on here. There you go. This is the first floor. It's massive. As she walks through... she shows you, out of character, you're an S2 right now. She shows you a door towards S3. She goes, that's our armory. For the most part, it stays locked unless we absolutely need it. As she opens the doors behind it, you see a grand marble staircase just leading up all the way up as far as your eyes can see. The ceiling on this place is very high. It is definitely feasible for... that giant vulture you saw drop earlier to fly through here.
Okay, so it's basically... Okay, this is a very, very large room.
Yes, it is a massive, massive tower. This is the grand staircase. I'm going to show you around a little bit before here, but we're going to report back to here in a few minutes. I'm going to take you upstairs to see my captain, and you can report to him what's been going on. She points over... to the south. That's the sleeping quarters that way. We're not going to go in there. Our night shift are in there. Through there, though, there's another door that leads out back to our stables. You see that as S1 down there. And that's where our mounts live, and where we also have a blacksmith out there. And an alchemist who helps us out. That's also where our food is cooked and everything like that. It's a very fascinating place. Between now and the festival tonight, if my captain approves it, I'll be glad to take you out there.
I would certainly like to see.
That is where our raw meat is cooked. Now let me show you my favorite place. And she goes up to the north, and there's this smaller door there. She opens it up, and there is a huge kitchen. It goes back to the back walls, and in there there's sacks heaped along against the walls, vegetables lying everywhere. Chefs in there preparing. Some are wearing Howling Hatred outfits. There's racks of knives lying around, hanging, being used in various places. Around one of the areas, there's a giant cauldron. She goes, that's where our stew is being made for tonight. Our mage friends don't eat much, and you see four Howling Hatred initiates around there breathing it in. She goes, they eat mainly air. They're trying to become the steam of the pot. I don't know what that means, but... they're exceptionally helpful here, and they make great stew. So we kind of let them be.
Which means they've been eating the stew for a year.
Can we, like, examine the soup? Like, just, like...
Do you want to go over to the stew? To the cauldron?
Yes. Just, like, go over and just, like, look over at the stew.
Mithra hangs back on this one. She goes over to a non-person, a person not wearing a evil sigil on their back.
A cult robe.
And starts chatting up that guy.
These sigils, like, they're visible for everyone, right?
Yeah, they're very it's much so like... akin to the one that's the two that now Davdak and Dahlgren have on their person at all times. It's green on green, but the sigil is visible.
Okay,
you guys are more keyed to seeing it because you are used to how the crumbling earth or whatever they're called wore their sigils. So that's the only reason why you noticed it, and they
it's
noticed
essentially the air version of the earth.
Yeah.
The earth robes and stuff that we've seen. Okay.
Exactly. It's the green version of the earth robes. So you could plainly see that they're cult, they're marked. I'm going to role play Davdak here a little bit too. You go over to investigate the stew, and so does Davdak. Davdak, though, on the other hand, kind of sweeps the howling hatred people away with tales of the wind gods, and I see what you're trying to become. Let me tell you a better way to absorb this energy instead of just standing over it for hours on end. And these guys are very clearly, obviously, not intelligent, so they just kind of go with him. They don't attack him. None of these, they don't seem to have weapons, but you know that they don't need them necessarily.
Yes, Atalba knows all that well. Fire!
So you go and investigate the stew, and on surface level, it's a stew. It's very hot. Lots of vegetables in there. You see meat pieces floating around in there. There's a regular cook who kind of bounces between that and another one of the counters, stirring that, going back to dicing up more carrots, putting more carrots in there. They're obviously, the kitchen is full of life because they're preparing for this feast tonight.
So you said there was some people that were not in the cultist robes also preparing things? Okay.
Yeah, there are people with the Feathergale sigil on. Feathergale sigil basically just kind of looks like kind of a rough outline of an eagle.
Okay.
And it's on their helmets, it's on their armor. It happens to be on, like, the chef's robes and stuff like that.
So, these mages that came in, these initiates, how many did you have you taken in?
Oh, there's dozens of them here. There's an entire battalion here. They've helped us stave off the Drugar invasion that happened about a little under a year ago now. They were here for about a month and a Drugar invasion happened, and without them, we definitely would not be going into our 10th year of nobody dying.
So, out of character, if people don't know, the Drugar are basically deep dwarves, and so I'm guessing this was a calculated attack by the Earth thing to make the air people seem like good guys is what my out of character hypothesis of what is going on is.
May or may not be true.
May or may not be true. I'm just saying. That's good, what my going hypothesis is.
Pretty good. You said this is the 10th round of initiates to pass the ceremony?
Of the Feathergale Society, yes. These fellows, they don't participate in our... They don't participate with us as Feathergale. They just call themselves the Howling. And they typically kind of just handle their own business. They don't ask for money. They don't ask for anything like that. They ask to eat our air of our soup every once in a while. We've only ever seen them eat something physically twice in the year that they've been here, and they do it very much so in secrecy, and typically out behind the stables.
I would very much like to meet your captain.
Oh, absolutely.
man, we have some crap to talk about.
She goes, I believe he may be back in the Solarium. Let's go check. Through the back door, there's another door that exits to the east. And as you go through there, it's a very bright room. And it has flowers, shrubs, vegetables. It's their grow house, basically. There's red and purple plants suspended in baskets in midair. Some are not tied by ropes. There are several robed people watering the plants. Nearly all of them have initiate howling hatred marks on them. There's one person in a more ornate Feathergale Knight's uniform walking around. And she looks and she goes up to him and goes, "Elric!" And Elric turns around. "This is one of our hurricanes. He's not my captain, but he may know where he is. Elric, do you know where the captain's at?" And Elric kind of shrugs and goes, "Probably upstairs. Maybe in the Great Hall. He might be in his apartment. I'm not sure." And she nods. She goes, "No problem. I just have some guests here that are probably going to join us for the feast tonight, including a bard. She apparently has this great story to tell about how these guys fended off earth demons or something." And he just gets like a kid in a candy store. Oh, that'll be fascinating. Absolutely.
And we have brought our air genasi to help entertain you as well.
And Davdak does his at-will levitate that he can do and just does a spin. And
his pants sparkle.
Yes. Sparkling with the sunlight in the area. The hurricane just kind of looks with glee and goes, "Absolutely, check upstairs. He's probably up there. He might even be at the pinnacle with Thur. I know they were doing a meeting. I don't know when that was letting out, though." All right, we will check upstairs. So you go upstairs, or you go back towards the grand staircase.
Okay.
Again, I'm reading, so I'm going to block off. And as you go up, it's a lot of stairs. You guys are pretty winded when you get up to the top. Not exhausted, but definitely... You start showing signs of weakening as you get up there. She goes, "Just imagine training as an initiate with us. Their basic training is going up and down the entire flight of stairs twice a day."
I would imagine that would make for very sturdy warriors.
Oh, absolutely. You can't fly around on eagles and vultures without very strong legs. That would be silly.
Indeed.
And you go upstairs, ta-da! Next part of the map is open. Of course, you guys are blazing through this without actually pissing anybody off.
Well, it seems like there are dozens of these guys here. Just an open attack, probably not in our best interest yet. I'm not saying I'm not going to. I'm just saying so far.
Gently.
Yeah, exactly.
No. The further higher we go up in this tower, the more between our escape out of here we put between us.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. I'm well aware.
However, the fact that the sending scrolls are linked pretty much means that you'll be able to send it to her regardless.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't have to worry about that. You're not going to get out of
whether or not she can get up is a whole nother question. But that's not our problem. That's her problem.
Yes. As you get upstairs, you get up past the opening of the first floor to the second floor, the staircase continues to spire up, but she stops at the second floor and kind of motions for you all to get off and let you catch your breath for a couple of moments. And as you look around, you see a great hall, massive hall. It spans half the diameter of the tower. There are overlarge windows, and between them, tapestries depict scenes of gallant knights on flying hippogriffs, eagles, fighting dragons, fighting dwarves, fighting basically anything wingless and not human. Those you see in aerial combat are clearly two Feathergale knights showing off in aerial jousting. as you look up further, again, a massive, massive thing. The vultures can come in and out of the windows. You see stone heads of hippogriffs, wyverns. You see stuffed heads of owlbears, manticores, dragons.
Not metallic dragons, correct? Just chromatic dragons?
Dragons. Mostly chromatic. Mostly straight up black.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Black, red, blue, those are fine. But if there's like a silver or gold dragon head, that's going to be a little terrifying.
Not that you see.
Okay. Fair enough. That's all I can judge on.
Nah.
The dragon heads you see are mostly mostly black and brown because earth dragons.
Yep.
You were saying something, Jazz?
I'm just observing the dragon heads and feeling uncomfortable.
This is a lovely room of death.
Yes.
So, do we see the captain on this level?
Not yet. You see a giant curved table there because that's where the feast is going to be.
Okay.
This is also at night where the servants sleep. Typically the members of the Howling.
Sleep on the table?
No, they sleep on the floor typically. They do this weird thing where they float above the ground slightly when they sleep. And Davdek goes, "Oh, I do that as well. That's not unusual for direct followers of the wind gods." She looks and she goes, "Well, we're not a religious cult, so we don't have the same powers gifted to those like your graciousness and those of the Howling. Clearly, ours are more martial means, but we certainly live to assist them and assist the gods of air fight the evils of the earth."
So they know them as the Howling, right?
Yes.
Right.
Not the Howling
hatred. It's the
whole hatred
thing that they're not aware of.
Yeah, the second part.
Really important part, but, you know, we'll get to that, but patience.
Easy. Don't light anything on fire yet.
Easy fire, Genasi. Yeah, no fire yet. No fire.
she looks around. She goes, "The rest of here are just the cells," and she kind of does air quotes, "that we stay in. It's our barracks here."
Okay, the cloisters, essentially.
Yeah, cloisters. That's what I was looking for.
You're talking about the S9s, right?
Yes,
yes.
S9 is night cells.
Okay.
Night's cloisters. She goes, "He wouldn't be any of them. I was really expecting him to be up here managing some of the Howling, but I don't see any of them here either." Huh.
Is this unusual?
Yeah, they're usually doing stuff around here, especially in front of a festival. Weird.
Okay.
Are you guys okay with going up to the next floor? His apartment's up there, so I'm going to check there. We have full access to it as long as the sun is up.
I am going to actually do my divine sense. Just, you know, surreptitiously, I nod and say yes. Would you like to go up and see if he is there? I do not wish to intrude. I realize you have full access, but I am not a member of your organization.
Oh, as long as you're... I would actually be better off with you guys staying with me. Without a full-fledged Feathergale with you, I can't guarantee your safety.
Fair enough. I appreciate the warning.
And you guys have been open and kind with me, so I don't want to give the wrong impression of you guys.
I appreciate that. We certainly do not seek any sort of conflict here. We are looking for allies in our search.
You didn't seem as such, and it's certainly distressing that you're saying the king is missing, and we haven't heard anything from the royal family. So if you guys are rested, we're gonna go ahead and go upstairs. Your divine sense gets
it's 60 feet, which is not very much in this size tower.
No, not in there. And you kind of get obviously glowing Azamar presence.
Yes.
Aside from that, and I'm guessing for the most part you're starting to tune that out.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I can see that. So I'm kind of facing away from her, so yeah, her light does not.
You don't see anything evil. You see, okay. Nothing. Certainly nothing demonic or celestial.
Okay.
There, you since you can't detect elemental powers with this, it's not going to pick up anything like the Howling Hager is going to be having or anything like that.
Okay, I'm just making sure there's not something additional that we're going to have to deal with.
On this level, for within your 60 feet, you have no demonic presence or celestial presence.
Cool.
All right, you go upstairs to the third floor. The third floor is actually getting to that is a little bit less, but that being said, it's like 100 feet less.
Okay.
When you get up to the third floor, the windows for the most part are smaller. You don't have a lot of walking area in this room. She goes, "This is where the main apartments go." She goes, "This is where the hurricanes stay and the typhoons stay." Just go ahead and come with me, and we'll go see if my captain is in his apartment. And
we follow.
She walks a little bit towards the northeast, and there's a pretty big door with a Feathergale knight standing outside of it. She nods. She goes, "Is Captain Mercosa in there?" He goes, "Last I checked, yeah. I thought I heard his eagle, but I could be mistaken earlier. It's hard not being able to go in there, so go ahead." And she goes in.
I am not drawing my weapon, but I am resting a hand on a hilt casually as we're moving around.
Okay.
Just because one seems to know where the captain is. There's a lot of cultists around, so I am ready. I am not making any sort of aggressive moves at all, though.
It's like you're just resting your hand on your...
Exactly.
As a fighter, that's a pretty natural stance for you. So it's not showing.
I mean, it's a mace, so it's even, less. But yeah, I essentially, if I got my arms crossed, this hand is resting on the hilt of my
Absolutely. And like I said, as a warrior, that is not an unusual stance for you.
Yeah.
Just like it is not unusual for, say, Davdak to be spinning an arrow in his hand, knowing full well
like
that
a drumstick.
He can... Yeah, exactly. Knowing full well that any second he can quickly put it into his bow and shoot it,
right.
But it's
he's
not
fidgeting though. For
yeah,
now.
Exactly. So you go in there, and it contains it's a very large room. It's a it's approximately quarters. A giant window that can close in it. It is currently closed.
Okay.
In there, it's a bed, fireplace, closet, a desk. With a rather large tapestry on the wall with basically a knight riding a great eagle with golden plating on it. And on the desk, there is a there's a leather case in there. And she kind of looks at it and looks at it again and opens it up and pulls out a scroll in there. And she reads this out loud because this seems completely normal for her, by the way.
Okay, so she doesn't seem alarmed.
No, she's kind of curious that he's not here. It's the middle of the day, but she reads, like I said, again the Feathergale Knights not known for their intelligence. They're known for their strength and passion.
Okay.
As you're going through there, she's reading, "Mercosa, we are pleased to hear about the outcome of your altercation with the Black Earth Drugar, and we praise you for the capture of one of their prisoners. This noble woman from Waterdeep has an interesting tale to tell, and we shall enjoy interrogating her further. Keep a close eye on the Sacred Stone Monastery. I want to know what our enemy is planning next. Your beloved queen, Arisi Kalinov." She looks troubled as she folds it back up and closes the case. This is the captain of the Feathergale Knights. She goes, "I should probably explain something to you. The captain of the Feathergale Knights, Captain Mercosa, is... the second strongest person here right after Arthur. He is tied in with a lot of heavy nobility and some royalty. He's commonly with the king, though it is weird that the queen would be sending notes to him directly. And I did not participate in the last battle with the Drugar, so I don't know what all happened with that. But
have I heard of the Sacred Stone?
The Sacred Stone Monastery?
Yes.
It is a, from what you know, and I'll go ahead and give this, because you and Driku are both going to know this knowledge.
Okay.
It was, up until recently, because nobody has heard from these people in a while, it was a Moradin monastery, training monks of Moradin and training a lot of the Stone Fist monks around the world. It has the Masters of the Stone Fist style of fighting, and also a gateway to the Deep Realms. Those who don't know, for the Deep Realms, is basically where the dwarves live. The good dwarves, not the bad dwarves. That's their ancestral home. And further down from there would be the Underdark.
Okay. So Muradin is good, is he not?
Yeah, Muradin is he's a lawful good god. He's part of the pantheon.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of what I was making sure I had the right one. So it seems a little odd to me that that someone who a formerly good monastery would be who these people would be considering the enemy. And I don't mean the Feathergale Knight specifically, but whoever is communicating with them. Because yeah. This is the queen, but are we positive that it's actually the queen? Because at this point I'm a little confused how something of a formerly good, you know, the monks being trained is now a source of where their enemy is.
you don't see any royal markings on it, so it could be either that it was a secret missive or it's fake. Both of which are entirely possible.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
Savannah seems to take it at face value, and she opens up the window behind her, and a gust of cold air rushes in. By the way, you can't get to the pinnacle. You couldn't go up any further. This is the top floor that you can get to. She kind of steps out onto the windowsill. Her hair starts blowing everywhere, and again, it's very strong. If you guys go to the window at all, and I'm guessing especially Davdak would go to the window and look out. You guys, that chasm or that canyon looks really small.
Okay. So we're up like a lot further than we expect?
Yes.
Or is it just we probably haven't been in a building this tall in a while?
Probably. Probably the only one who may be used to that would be possibly you. Because Bahamut's buildings tend to be taller too.
Okay.
And as a paladin, you would be trained above the priests, since the priests would stay usually closer to the ground, able to get to those who needed healing faster and things like that.
Okay.
Especially as an initiate paladin, when you left, you probably would not have been ground level. You probably would have been up further, but this is high for you.
Okay. I take note of that to not jump out as an escape route.
Yes.
Because that would probably kill me.
Oh, no, there's no probably. If you rolled a 1 on all of the d10s that you would be taking, you would die.
No, d6. It's only d6 per 10 d6. Feet.
Oh, only d6. So, okay, if you rolled a 1 on every d6, you would still die.
Okay.
Or at least get knocked out, probably on the verge of character death. So she takes out a scroll from her backpack and throws it in the air, and it unravels and dissipates into the air. And down comes the vulture you saw earlier.
Oh, okay.
Lands on a landing perch that's there. And
I would assume all of the windows as we were going up, like most of the windows big enough, have a perch like yes. in the window.
Yeah.
I would assume. Okay.
It's a giant aviary, basically.
Right, exactly.
The birds seem to have more freedom in them than the knights do.
That seems okay. logical, yes.
So she goes, I can really only bring two of you up at a time, but I'll land you so you're not directly facing the third. I have my knight's platform that I can land on, which nobody will bother you there. I'll go up with the first person, and she waves at Davdak, and he very cautiously, super cautiously gets on the bird. And again, I mean, none of your guys' and through the entire time that you've been here, you've noticed Mithra paying very close attention to everything.
I do not doubt that.
She is on absolute high alert.
Well, given we're surrounded by cultists.
Yes.
It's a good place to be.
So she's...
In the room, it's just us. It's mm-hmm. just the party now, plus...
Yeah.
Okay. And she's going to take two up to the pinnacle, right?
She's going to go up. She's going to take Davdak up this time.
Okay.
She goes, I will be right back down. I'll be down in less than a minute.
Okay.
And Davdak gives you a very worried look as they take off. Minthor quickly turns to you guys and she goes, she's not lying on any of this. There's not a dabble of dishonesty to her.
No, she's just not aware.
Yeah, she goes, this is completely normal for her. This is totally and absolutely what she believes. I don't know what's going to be up there, but given our situation, we're kind of in a point where we don't have much choice than to follow her.
Oh, no, I agree. It troubles me that they have infiltrated and are purported to be doing acts of good. Although I have no love for the Drugar, I do not necessarily think they were properly represented. Or
well, most assuredly not.
A witch hunt.
Yeah, most assuredly not. And she laughs. She goes, I'm going to go up last. I want me and Salamander to go up last because I want to take a look around this room a little bit more, and he and I probably are able to do it faster than you guys are.
No arguments here.
And she lands, and Savara lands after that. She goes, all right, everything's clear. The Thur's in a meeting right now, so we're just going to go up. We're going to go up to the pinnacle, and I'm going to show you guys around a little bit while we're waiting for him. It'll be about maybe 30 minutes.
Are normally the only people allowed up members of your order?
Normally, yes. However, again, if you're with one of us, if one of us vouches for you, you have the same openings here as the person who you are with.
How about the initiates?
Oh, the howling. The priest is up there sometimes, or no, not the priest. Sorry, I misworded. The head of the howling is up there sometimes, but typically he doesn't reside in the tower. He's out in the canyon doing hunting, or out with the eagles and getting us more giant eagles and. Training more lance riders and hurricanes.
Okay, cool.
I don't like that.
We're all fine here. How are you?
All right. She goes, all right, I'm going to go ahead and hang out here while you two go up. It's a full clearance up there. My friend Derek is up there. He'll be able to get you where you need to be.
I don't know how to ride a bird. Steering and such. Does he know how to take care of things?
You're a Bahamut follower.
I ride horses.
You didn't train on the dragons?
It turns out when your god is a dragon, riding them might be seen as not fully what you should be doing. There are some that do.
far as I
am
I
not
know,
high enough
symbolic.
In the order to have attained that privilege.
Oh, okay. Oh, so you're like me.
Except you apparently have that privilege.
Oh, we're open here. We're open like the sky here. Once you've been greeted into the tower, you're known here. You're the wind here.
Fair enough. If the bird will carry me to the top, I am fine with that. If he's expecting me to steer, I unfortunately will be treating him as a horse, which I don't know if your noble steed will appreciate.
Oh, you're silly. I like you. You don't know how to ride a bird. All right, I'll go up with you.
That seems safer.
All right.
Also, I don't know if the bird wants the guy wearing metal armor and the dragon type riding him at the same time. That seems like it would be a little heavy. But, you know.
Got right.
She gets on her eagle.
Okay. I tentatively get on it as well.
And, whoosh, you're up in the air.
Okay.
You get deposited on the perch.
Okay.
On the map that you see, it's the one that you can see.
Okay. The one sticking out of the darkness.
Yes.
Okay.
And she sits and she tells Derek about you, who you are, and snap change back to the room. Sorry, we have less than a minute. She goes, I'm gonna look through that drawer and see if I can find anything. If that's all right with you guys, Mentor says.
Yes. Go ahead. Can I I kind of want to do like a intelligence check to see if there's anything in the room.
I am so glad I don't have disadvantage. Oh my god.
Sleight of hand. She tips the desk over and somehow Satalba sets it on fire. Whoops.
Sorry, I'm just a little jumpy.
Are you always lighting things on fire? I'll work on that.
She gets into the desk. She picks the lock that's on it, by like whispering at it, and then it pops open. However, it's not so quiet. And the door kind of peeks open. Savara, are you still in here? The guard from out front calls.
She's taking our companion to the pinnacle. We're waiting for her to return.
Oh, okay, no problem. I just thought I heard something. I apologize.
Totes.
No, I'm sure I didn't hear a tote. Well, I might have heard a tote. Was that a tote that I heard?
I don't think so. I heard nothing with my awesome dragon ears.
Jesus Christ. What's the blonde girl doing?
I'm not there, guys. You guys are on your own.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, guess what I just did? I made the two people who don't talk, talk.
Well, I don't shut up, so that's, you know, difficult.
Oh, she's just...
She's looking for a pen to compose her next song of our adventures.
Give me a deception check.
Oh, this should go well.
Yes. Wait, where's my... crap. It's too many windows. Oh, jeez.
Oh, my God, dude.
He
You're about as smooth of a liar as my character is. Just to say,
he steps into the room. Miss, I'm going to have to ask you not to go through others' things. Is that something that your people do from where you're from? And he takes a couple steps towards her.
No, I just, I step between both of them and it's like, oh no, everything's fine. She'll remember next time.
Give me a deception check.
Roll a 20. Roll a 20.
Hey, you beat a 9.
Woohoo!
Visitors. I'm going to tell Savara what happened. I'm going to wait here for her to come back.
I understand.
Wherever she's taking you, you guys need to leave this apartment now. This is our captain's apartment. There's a lot of very important things in here.
Of
and
course.
She kind of gives him puppy dog eyes. I'm so sorry, sir. I'm very sorry. I really was just looking for something to write with. I couldn't find anything. The pen that's here, the pen that's here isn't working. Yeah, that's why I love clerics. Oh dear. It's all right. I'm just a little on edge. I apologize. I don't like guarding the captain's apartment. It makes me just go crazy because the door's opening all the time. And his eagle is really loud, and I'm sorry. I'm still gonna wait here for Savara to come back because I need to make sure that nothing is touched. And Savara comes back, and the guard kind of relays to her what happened, and she goes, "It's a bard. They write things. They have spur of the moment inspiration."
Exactly.
They're crazy like that. I don't understand them, but that's why I'm not a bard. So just to make you less on, just to make you a little less crazy, I'll take her up with me next, okay? He nods and kind of goes up back out the room. They both get on the vulture and fly away. You have a minute. What are you doing?
Is the the drawer still open?
Yes, the drawer is still open.
I'm not there.
Peeking.
Give me an investigation check.
Nice.
That would be a 20.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, for the audio listeners, that's a natural 20. So, this drawer, you find... in addition to some personal effects that are in there, the drawer contains 320 gold pieces in a sack, a potion, a scroll, and two scrolls. Do you take them?
Can I check them to make sure they're not cursed or magic before I touch them?
Oh, that's right. You have a cursed book. Do you have, was it Divine Sense, or you want to do Detect Magic, Raul?
I'll use my Detect Magic.
If you guys get us killed, I'm going to be very upset. I'm just saying.
Oh, this is so good. Okay. Holy crap, those scrolls are really, really magical. Bursting with magic, and that potion there, whoo, that's a really high level potion in there.
But the guard is still in the room with us.
No,
right?
He left.
No, he left.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He left after the person he caught in there was there. But however, I purposely said I purposely did not say she closes the drawer. Do you want to take them?
No. Can we read the scrolls on like what they are?
No, they're tied.
We don't have time. We don't have time.
Yeah.
You have a minute.
All right. You have 3, 2.
All right. Take them.
Take them.
The lawful good priest just took stuff. Oh my god! This is so great.
I don't know. I don't know these things.
Oh god.
We're gonna have to have a talk later.
By the way, Jared, that is an evil act, and you certainly feel that nothing is currently happening to you.
You feel icky,
but you feel extremely bad, and almost like Bahamut's gaze is on you now.
Okay.
So at that point, you close the drawer, and she lands. You obviously have time to put them away. So go ahead and add 320 gold to your person, Jazz.
No, I didn't take the gold. I just wanted the scrolls.
You took the scrolls potion. And the potion? Oh.
I don't care about the gold. I don't want to rob the guy.
Who's next?
I'll go ahead and go up next.
Leave Jared there to stew. All right, so he takes the Klepto and puts them back. And you notice that there the sigils on the scrolls at least are Beast Bond and Skyrite.
Huh.
So you have a scroll of Beast Bond and a scroll of Skyrite. The potion, you can't tell what it is. It is sky blue, though. You almost feel a inner strength radiating from the bottle as you hold it.
Okay. So
write down the fact that you have a scroll of Beast Bond, a scroll of Skyrite, and a potion of X.
Potion of blue.
Now, there's a fair chance with these two amazing scrolls in there that this potion is not a negative one.
But you don't know, but is the important takeaway.
Yes. you're lucky the fact that he wrote Beast Bond and Skyrite on the scrolls.
Because otherwise, you kind of have to, you know, use the scroll or try to transcribe the scroll.
Yes. There's a little sticky note on both of them that says Skyrite and Beast Bond.
The old sticky note.
Magic sticky note. All right.
Knowledge plus one.
You get plus one sticky notes. Right. She lands and she's like, "All right, Dragon Boy, hop up."
I hop on.
All right. And at that note, you get taken up to the pinnacle, and that is where we are going to end this
and
night's
scene.
Manipool. Because I see Andy typing something.
I cannot believe you guys stole their shit. I really hope you don't tell me that you stole their stuff.
Eventually, you're going to have to.
It'd be like, Hey, look what we took from the captain's room.
Why would they need to ever tell me?
He's going to use them eventually.
I don't know what he has. Like, I have no idea what possessions he actually has. So,
that's so good, but, yeah.
The way my character is, I'd be like, "Hey, Draku, what about we use those scrolls that you pinched from the captain's room?
I don't know what you're talking about, Otama.
The elbow.
Ixnay on the whole skay.
Oh, man.
By the way, like I said, that is a
evil act.
Chaotic evil act, which is polar opposite to your alignment. Like I said, this is your first infringement on it, but your power comes from a lawful good god.
Don't blow it, is what he's saying.
you don't have the side effects of being able to learn from a book like Raoul does, or are granted them. I mean, even Dahlgren, if he did something really, really against his god, would have his power stricken away. But he has a mace he can hit people with.
Yes.
He becomes a fighter. You become a weirdly wisdom-based mage, which is not going to work.
I would just throw myself in the tower.
Would it have any effect?
Halfway in the eagle ride up, he just jumps off.
Would it have any effect if the captain was going to, like, say, use the gold to buy a hit?
You don't know.
If the captain turns out to be evil?
You don't know these.
Guilty of so far is they're really ignorant of what is going on around them. That is literally the only thing they're guilty of.
They're ignorant that they're completely surrounded and they could die at any moment.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, because right